Welcome to Mosaic Church, and thank you for joining us here online. To prepare for today's message, we encourage you to utilize the Mosaic Cincinnati app. There you can view the message notes, put in prayer requests, and so much more. Enjoy the message.
We're going to conclude our series, The Power of Grace, today with a message entitled, Grace Empowers. Grace empowers. And to be clear, this last month we've been talking about God's grace. Not grace that I have for you or somebody else has for you, but God's grace is what makes the difference. And so we've talked about how grace sees, grace invites, grace saves. Talked about that last week. And if you missed any of the messages, I want to encourage you to catch up online or on the app. They're all available there. But today, if we were just boil it down to one statement, you know, the worst thing that we can do with the grace of God is to not live in light of it. The worst thing that we could do when we're given the grace of God is to not live in light of that grace. Listen, if God's grace doesn't completely rewire the way we think, the way we live, how we work, then we're doing something wrong. And you might say, Joel, I've been trying this thing for a while. I've been trying to follow Jesus for a while, but I just can't figure it out. Like, it's just really, really hard. Well, I would say to you, you're just not alone. And if you're an unbeliever here today, you haven't begun a relationship with Jesus Christ, first of all, you're in the right place. Second of all, you might have asked yourself the question, like, you know, I know that person over there is a Christian, but then it seems like they struggle with the same things I do. And so what's up with that, right? What's up with that? And you maybe wrestled with these kind of questions, like, yes, we're saved by grace. Yes, we have Jesus in our life, but it's still kind of battle. It's kind of a battle. And so there's this tension between the fact that God's grace should absolutely rewire our lives, that we've been given a fresh start, we've given a second chance, a new beginning. And sometimes it's really hard, right? It's just really hard. You know, I'm a runner, and at least I like to think of myself as a runner. I'm not as fast as I used to be. The 40s have officially caught up with me, right? And I like to think of myself as an athlete, but many times I eat like a couch potato. Does anybody else, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I can... My actions sometimes can reflect somebody that is pretty in shape and you know I can get out there and still move pretty well. But there's this battle inside that I don't always act like that identity says I should act. Like if I'm a runner, if I'm an athlete, I should probably treat my body a little bit better. I should probably make some different choices with my diet. But French fries are just really good. Come on now, right? Pizza. Sunday night, every single Sunday night, you know what I crave? Pizza. And a Dr. Pepper, ice cold. Come on. You can taste it right now, can't you? It's like, you know, the worst thing a pastor could do while he's preaching on a Sunday morning is start talking about food because then everybody checks out and they can't wait to get over to Bob Evans or wherever you're going today. But this is normal for there to just be this inner battle inside when it comes to our walk with Jesus. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 6 through 8. And you know, there's a battle that we know we are supposed to be one thing, that we're saved by grace, we're a new creation. And what an amazing symbol that we got to see this morning of a new life. But there's a battle inside. And so this morning I want to unpack how grace... God just doesn't see you, and he doesn't just invite you to a new relationship, and he doesn't just save you, but he also empowers you to live in light of his grace. And so let's unpack this today. Number one, if you want to grab your notes and fill in the blanks, or you can go on the Mosaic Cincinnati app and fill in the blanks there as well. But the first thing that we see in Scripture today is that is an encounter with Jesus' grace changes our identity. An encounter with Jesus' grace changes our identity. Fundamentally, the way that you see yourself, the way that you act, everything about you, it changes because of his grace. In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is unpacking the resurrection, which I cannot wait to talk about next week. And so this whole chapter, in one way or another, he's addressing the topic of resurrection and how it's the foundation of our faith. And if Jesus has not been resurrected, if he did not rise from the dead, then all of our faith is useless and we're just kind of twiddling our thumbs here, right? And Paul, all throughout 1 Corinthians, has been boiling things down to the irreducibles and just getting things down to the lowest level where we can reach them and understand them. And so at the beginning of this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about how the message of Christ has been passed down. You know, after the resurrection, Jesus saw Peter. And then the 12 disciples saw Jesus. And then Jesus saw 500 people of his followers at one time in one place. And then later he saw his brother James and the rest of the apostles. And then in verse 8, Paul says this. He says, last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church. You see, Paul, before he came to know Jesus, he wasn't just like indifferent to Jesus. He was out to kill people that followed Jesus. He was literally out to destroy the church. He was on the offensive against Christ. Listen to what he says next. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. Underline those last few words, not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. Man, what he says here really fires me up, because what he is doing with this explanation is he's leveling the playing field when it comes to following Jesus. He's leveling the playing field. He's saying that if Jesus appeared to him, if Jesus did this amazing, miraculous work in his life, if the grace of God can empower Paul to make a difference, then just think of what he can do in your life. Just think of what he can do in your life, because you might think to yourself, who am I to follow Jesus? Who am I? If you only knew what I have done. I'm nobody. I come from a nobody family in the backwoods of who knows where. Joe, you just don't know what my family is like and what I've done and where I've come from and some of the choices that I've made. Right? And after what I did, there's no way that God can use me. Listen. What I love through these verses that Paul is speaking is humility is not convincing yourself that you are worthless. We're pretty much experts at that, right? We can talk ourselves down with the best of them. So true humility is not convincing yourself that you are worthless, but recognizing the value of God's work in you. All your enemy, the devil, wants to do is to keep you thinking that you don't have what it takes. To keep you thinking that because of what you've done, God can't use you. That's all the devil wants to do. But God wants you to see not your abilities, but what the power of God and his work in you can do. You see, Paul thought that he knew Jesus before he saw Jesus. Come on. Paul thought he knew all there was to know about God before he saw Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus. He thought he knew him. And some of you walked in today and you think you know about God and you think you know how the world works and you think that you've got this whole thing licked. But the truth is that when you really have an encounter with Jesus, the real Jesus, not religion, not a list of do's and don'ts, not kind of this version maybe that you had, these preconceived notions that you had about faith. No, the real Jesus. When you meet the real Jesus, it changes how you see everything, including yourself. And so Paul thought he knew who Jesus was before he saw him, but in that moment when he saw Jesus, he saw him for who he really was, and it changed everything. And so Paul was saying, I was something else, but by God's grace and by God's power, I'm something new. That's what we got to watch this morning, the symbol of baptism. I love how the New International Version says it in this passage. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. I love that. Can you imagine how much of a tragedy grace would be if it had no effect on your life? And yet sometimes that's how we treat it. We accept Christ. We go to church, and then we live the rest of our life as if it has no effect, right? I'm guilty too. I've been there. I've done that. But who wants lifeless religion? Who wants it? No one. Lifeless religion without Jesus at the center and without, you know, just a total and complete surrender to him is why many people get turned off by it. Because it's without life. Jesus came to completely transform you from the inside out, and by his power and by his grace, empower you to actually live the new life. Amen. Amen. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know one major way that we don't let grace take effect in our life? Insecurity. And I think this is across the board for everyone. Guess what? I deal with insecurity. Doesn't matter how long I've known Jesus, there's still this little voice in the back of my head that says you're not good enough. There's still this little voice in the back of my head that is comparing. There's still this little voice that just wants to tear me down when God says I'm able through his grace. Insecurity. And so the question is, are you going to let the grace of God take effect in every area of your life? And so I love this. When we just get to this point, when we say, if I am what I am because of the grace of God, think about it. If I am what I am because of the grace of God, then by all means, it's enough. And I can put to rest those thoughts of insecurity. It doesn't mean they won't come, but I've got weapons in my hand to fight it, right? I'm ready to speak truth to those thoughts in my life. I love what Paul said. He said, I've worked harder than all of them, right? And that's a lot of times what we look like, what I've done compared to everybody else. And am I doing enough? What's my life look like compared to theirs? That's a lot of times where our minds go. And so Paul says, yeah, I've worked harder, but it was not I, but God who is working through me by his grace. And so what does that tell us? That we work hard, yes, but our contentment and our sense of satisfaction in life comes from the grace of God. It comes from the very fact that he saw you when you were still a sinner and he died for you, and then we saw him. That encounter, it changes everything. You know, it made me think when I was preparing this week of an old song that I heard growing up. And I pulled it up on YouTube and I watched it again. And it's just such a powerful thought. And that old song, it says, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That he saw you. The Bible says that before he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knew you. And so he saw you. And the encounter comes when you see him for who he really is. That he loves you, that he has a plan for your life, and it's good. Amen? He gives you identity. He gives you purpose. He gives you power. He affects who you are, why you work, what you do. Right? Because when our identity is something that we create, we always are going to find ourselves lacking. But when we allow God to shape us, we find purpose. We find confidence. We find strength. And we find power. Galatians 5:25 says it like this. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. In every part of our life. And so being a Christian and following Jesus and having grace and power, a new identity in our life, it's not just some sort of enhancement or an elevation of your life to a new level. It's not just an add-on. It's not just like, oh, you know, I added this to my life. No, it's a complete and total transformation. But a new identity is just the first step. It's just the first step. And so the second way that grace empowers us today is that we don't just receive grace, we steward grace. We don't just receive grace, we steward grace. And so we encounter Jesus, and because of his grace, it completely changes our identity and how we see ourselves. And so we're given this amazing gift, but we don't just take it and say, okay, I'm good, right? No, we steward the grace that we've received. You know, it's Palm Sunday. And on the church calendar, you know, this is the day that we commemorate when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, of all things, right? On a colt. And so when he came in, the people laid branches to kind of line the path that he was going to walk on, and they shouted, Hosanna. They shouted, Hosanna, which it can be interpreted, praise God, but it really means, you know, shouting out, God, save us. You know, you think about that. Sometimes when you hear these church words like Hosanna, we could sing it. We can sing Hosanna. And we're like, what does that mean? I don't know what I'm singing, but man, it sure feels good. And, you know, but no, they're saying, God, save us. Save us. But Jesus was coming to save them in a different way than they thought at the time. In a completely different way than they thought. Because we know that just a few days later, many of the same people that would have been shouting Hosanna were shouting, crucify him. Right? You see, we make these kind of like misunderstandings in our faith all the time. We think that God should be working in one way. We think God should be doing one thing, and yet he's doing something completely different. And so it's sometimes easy to misunderstand the role of Jesus in our life. It's one thing to sing the songs and say the church words. It's another thing to take what God has given us and be a really good steward of it. Amen? And so in 1 Peter 4:10-11, I'm reading from the NIV this time. I usually read from the NLT, but I just love how it says it in this translation. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the power, and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so the people were wanting Jesus to come and save them from Roman domination, right? And yet Jesus was coming and saying, hey, I want to save you from your sins. I want to save you from this misconception that you're in the center of the universe and that everything revolves around you and your comfort. I want to save you so that you can be a blessing to others. I want to save you so that you can be free of your sin and free of your guilt and fear of your shame. I want to save you to live a different life than you were living before. And I love this thought that we're stewards of God's grace. You know, like many of you, hopefully all of you, we've got this amazing device in our kitchen. It's called the refrigerator, right? It's one of my favorite things in the world. What would we do without it, right? I saw somebody post on Facebook the other day, and I think there were some friends up in Illinois, and they had some storms and power outages, and so the girl was saying, hey, our fridge has been out for 8 hours, but the door hasn't been opened. You know, can we still eat the food, right? And so, of course, everybody's jumping on the train. Yes, it's fine. You're going to be okay. And, you know, but it's a big deal when the fridge goes out. It's a big deal. But it's not just when we lose electricity. If you don't manage what goes in and when it comes out, things can get pretty gnarly too, right? I don't know if you have this problem in your house, but we definitely have this problem in our house that no one likes to clean the leftovers out of the fridge. Anybody else? Am I the only one? Maybe we're just, you know, slackers in my house and we just don't, you know. But refrigerator management is a tough thing in my house. And eventually, whoever's dishes week it is, it's like, you know, it falls on them. And it's just this dread that, oh, I have to clean the fridge out. And why do they not want to clean the fridge out? Because the things that they have to clean out have probably gone bad. Why? Because they went in, but they weren't used, right? And it only lasts so long before it gets nasty, right? It gets gross. Have to manage it. Kind of like in the Old Testament when the Israelites were going around the desert, and if you haven't read this story, I encourage you to check out the book of Exodus sometimes. And Jesus, or God, had led the Israelites out of Egypt, and now they're spending 40 years in the desert because of their stubbornness and because they're really hard-headed, kind of like you and me, right? And they're like, Moses, how are we going to eat? Where are we going to get food? And so what does God do? God says, hey, I'll provide. And every day, manna, a bread-like substance, fell from heaven. So when they woke up in this morning, they came out of their tents, the ground was covered with it. Isn't that an amazing thing? But here was the catch. That God was going to provide every single day. He was going to give them something they didn't even deserve, they didn't even work for, they didn't earn, but they could only use the manna that fell that day. If they tried to save it up for tomorrow, what would happen? Overnight, it would spoil to the point where it was covered, ladies, are you ready for this, with maggots. Disgusting. Like no one in their right mind would think of eating it. It would stink. And it would be gross. And then miraculously, on the day before the Sabbath, God would say, collect 2 days worth. And so they would collect that day's worth and enough for the next day. And miraculously, it wouldn't go bad on the Sabbath. And this is just an amazing picture that when God puts grace in your hands, when he gives you something that you didn't deserve, you didn't work for, and you could never earn even if you tried, there's not a person in this room that could call down manna from heaven right now. Right? That was a one-time deal for the Israelites. It's never happened before and never since. And in the same way, when God showers grace in your life, something you don't deserve and you can never earn, and he just says, I love you, no strings attached, then we have to steward that grace. We can't try to store it up for the next day and be like, well, you know, one day back in 1976, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I'm just hoping it's still good today. Now, his grip don't slip, and his grace is big. But God forbid that we take this amazing gift and we don't steward it day to day. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And so what does this mean? It means God's in charge of it. God's the giver. We steward it. I love what Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says. It says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. Isn't that amazing? And it's still true for you and me. Every single day when you get up, guess what? There's more of God. There's more of his mercies. There's more of his grace in our life. But for whatever reason, there's a battle inside of us to not pursue it. To not pursue it. And I just want to create a little tension for us this morning that we don't feel comfortable in that place just doing nothing daily with God's grace. Why? Because he's called us to be stewards of his grace. Listen, grace is not only in the rearview mirror. It's not only in the rearview mirror. I love the song Amazing Grace. Any fans out there? Amazing Grace, timeless hymn. It's so amazing. I love it. But if you just sing the first verse of that song, guess what? It's in the past tense. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It's amazing. But it's not just about what he did back then, right? It's about what he wants to do for you now. And it's not something you have to conjure up every day, because some of you are going to wake up every day and you're going to be like, I just don't feel it. You know, because that time that I gave my heart and life to Jesus, man, I felt it so deeply and God was on fire. I hear people say this all the time. I was on fire for God and then something happened and I just didn't feel it anymore. And I want to encourage you today, it doesn't matter how you feel, it's what's real. And what's real in your life is that God's mercies and his grace are new for you every day, and he puts it in your hand, and it's time to steward it and to do what he's called you to do. And so how do we steward it? How do we steward it? As we receive it, we're faithful to give it out. Instead of putting it in the fridge and forgetting about it until it spoils, we give it out. We get it out. We use it. When God puts gifts in your hand that you didn't deserve and talents that you couldn't have come up with on your own, guess what? You use them to serve other people. We see people. We invite people. We help bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We steward what God has done in our lives by not keeping it for ourselves, but by serving other people. Amen? We're stewards of God's grace. And then number three, we'll close with this morning. By his grace, we walk in power. In power. Now this is where it just gets good, because so much of the time, we leave the power that God has given us on the shelf. Why? Because we sensationalize God's power, or we do it disservice by boiling it down to just a feeling. Let's unpack this. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12, it says, so we keep on praying for you. Now, I love that. Every part of this, God's word is important. So we keep on praying for you. So we're in an ongoing dependence on God and his power, and we're praying every day, not just for ourselves, but for others' people, because we're being stewards of God's grace. We're asking God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. So we need God's power to be able to live out the grace that he gives us to steward, right? May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way that you live. And you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible, underline that word possible, because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? It's only possible through God's grace that we have power to live a life worthy of his call, to live a life where we have power to accomplish all the good things that he's called you to do. This means we got to depend on him. This also means that we live and we overcome from a place of victory. That God, because he rose again from the dead and he's not dead, he's alive. He's got the power to help you overcome, be an overcomer in your life. What we don't do a lot of, and this is where it just gets real, is we don't balance very well our life choices and the power of God. We like to live from mountaintop to mountaintop experience, don't we? Where, man, one day we're just really feeling it. And then the next day it's like, was it real? and we just don't feel it anymore. And because we don't feel it anymore, we wonder, has God left me? Why don't I have the willpower? Why am I not able to do what I know to be the right thing to do? Listen, your life choices and the power of God are not mutually exclusive. They are intertwined all day, every day. All day, every day. For some reason, we like to separate the two, as if there are spiritual things in life and then there's unspiritual things in life. Like when we go to a church on Sunday, you know, this is a spiritual thing that we do, and we stand and we sing songs and we worship and we praise. But then tomorrow when we go to work, we're just going to work. See, it doesn't work like that. Jesus wants to have access, and he wants to work, kind of like that verse in Galatians we read earlier, in every single part of your life. He wants to empower it all. He wants to empower your relationship with your spouse, your relationships with your friends. He wants to empower you to do better at your job. He wants to empower you to be able to speak through the power of the Holy Spirit when God says, open your mouth and tell somebody about Jesus. God wants to empower you for every good work that he's designed for you to do. He wants to empower you. And it doesn't come down to a feeling. Comes down most of the time to a choice. Sometimes, man, I've got that fire shut up in my bones, and it's going to come out whether I like it or not. But on all the rest of the days, you know what I have to choose? I got to choose to say yes to Jesus. I got to choose to walk in the power of his Holy Spirit. I've got to choose to say, yes, God, I will open my mouth. And yes, I will do what you tell me to do, whether I feel like it or not. Because I'm leaning into the power and the presence of God through prayer. I'm saying, I don't want to live a life that's not worthy of this call that I've received. I don't want to live a life that brings shame to the cross of Christ. I don't want to live a life that doesn't steward well the grace that God has given me. Amen? Don't view any of your life as not spiritual. Every choice you make can be a choice that honors Jesus. Amen? Every single choice. Philippians 2:13, it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I love this verse because that first half, that's like what I can do. I can work hard. I can obey God. You know, one of my chief jobs as a dad is to teach my boys and my little precious angel who never does anything wrong, Jovi. That's what the boys think. That's what the boys think I think. You know, we all know the truth, don't we, Jovi? But one of my chief jobs as a dad is to teach them to obey, whether they feel like it or understand or not. We're having a lot of those kind of conversations lately. But why, Dad? Because I said so, right? And so work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Like, I can do that. I can always choose to do that. And then listen to the second part. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So do you see the connection? It's both and. We're praying, we're depending on God. God's gonna enable us to live a life worthy of his call. God's gonna give us the power to accomplish the good things that he's called us to do. God's gonna be glorified with your life. Yes, even your life. You think to yourself, God could never be glorified through my life. I'm a nobody. I don't have any talents. I can't talk like other people. I can't do things that other people do. And God says, no, by my grace, I want to give you power to do everything that I'm calling you to do. And you might not look like the other person. You might not talk like the other person. Your story might be different than the other person. But that doesn't mean that you are exempt from God's power in your life. Amen? We're gonna work hard to show the results of our salvation. We're going to obey God because we can. And then God is going to work in us. He's going to give us the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. And so I'm going to do my job, and God is always faithful to do His. And He's going to pick up where I leave off. And when I get to the end of my rope and I feel like I just can't do it anymore, then He's going to interject in my life, and He's going to inject me with power that I didn't even know I had. Why? Because He will always create a way of escape. It's our job to take it. It's our job to take it. It's our job to say yes. And you say, well, Joe, what about the days when I just don't feel like it? When I just don't feel it, I just work harder to live it. I make hard choices to honor it, to honor His grace. I trust that His grace will sustain me and will fuel me. I pray. I work hard. I depend on God's power, all because of God's grace. And when you put my choices or your choices together with obedience to Christ and the power of God, man, you just wait. Amazing things can happen. Amen. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, we're closing with this verse today. It says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? And you might be sitting here today and saying, Joe, yes, I don't get it all. I don't understand how this all works. I don't understand the grace of God and what it means for my life and how I'm supposed to live this out. And I just feel so ill-equipped. And then it goes on and says, the Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of His understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Some of you need that today. You need new strength. Anybody? New strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God wants to empower you with His grace. When you, and this is why we need to be seeking the face of God every day, because it's not just an encounter we had at some point. But you can have an encounter with God's word every day. You know, God only stops speaking to you when you shut the Bible. Come on. He only stops speaking to you. You only stop having encounters with God when you close His word and don't open it up. You and I, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have access and ability to have an encounter with Jesus every single day. And so every day we meet with Him and we're filled with purpose, and He's shaping and forming our identity. And every day we're stewards of God's grace. We're faithful to give out what He's given to us. And then by His grace, we walk in power. We're choosing to follow Him. And when our power runs out, we're going to trust Him that He's going to pick us up. He's going to carry us on eagle's wings. He's going to fill us with new strength. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We look forward to having you back next week.